This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ray, good morning. Ray Fittipaldo. How are you, Ray?
What's up, guys? How are you?
Give us your snow prediction real quick before we get into the meat of these questions. From a 36-hour window, Saturday at 8 a.m. till Sunday at 8 p.m., we've been asking people for their snow predictions at Greater Pitt. How much snow will there be?
Well, it's never as bad as they say, so I'm going to give you two predictions. I'm going to tell you 6 inches, and I'm going to tell you I will be nowhere near Giant Eagle on Friday night.
There we go. There we go, Ray Fittipaldo, veteran Pittsburgher. Well, thank you, Ray, for that. You can text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. Ray will be in his short sleeve shirt. He'll be in his shorts. He'll be at St. Vincent. It'll be warm. It'll be steamy. It'll be hot. Everybody will be awaiting news. Will Mike Tomlin get an extension at St. Vincent this time?
Yeah, I think so. I know there's been a lot of speculation about that, guys, but I don't think we're to the point where they're going to be in a situation where they want there to be 1 year left, or for them to ever get it to be where there's no years left. I think we saw what happened this year in Baltimore. Even though everything turned out great for the Ravens this year, if you remember at midseason after the Steelers beat them down there, there was talk, was he going to get fired that Monday? You know, they were under 500. You have an uncertain coaching situation. It was kind of a mess down there. Now, since the Steelers helped them out a great deal, they ended up getting into the playoffs, and now John Harbaugh is going to be the coach there for the foreseeable future. But I don't think you ever want to get into that situation where you have a lame duck coach. I think they'll extend him, and if something goes really, really wrong, of course they still have the option to make a move. But, yeah, I think we'll see Mike extended, late July, early August once again.
Ray, it's been reported by some that Mike Munchak went to Denver for more money, been reported by others that it's for family reasons. He asserted that to Ed Bouchette in today's Post-Gazette. And then some of us believe that it was probably had something to do, and no small part due to the atmosphere inside the building at 3400 South Water Street. What do you think the main reason was that Mike Munchak decided to leave for a lateral move to Denver?
I have no reason not to believe what Mike Munchak said, guys. Zero. I know there's been a lot of talk about that, and all the drama that goes on down there. You know, we all know Mike's a no-nonsense guy. I'm sure he didn't love what transpired there late in the season, but I believe him. When he say he loved it here, I believe him. When he said that he thought he was going to retire here, I believed him on that too. And as far as the money goes, he very well, might be making more money in Denver. But my understanding was they paid him like a coordinator. They paid him a lot more money than your average position coach makes. So I think the Steelers stepped up in previous years to give him a bump in pay. And I believe what he says. I don't think money, I don't think drama, I don't think anything like that played into it. I really just think, it's simply his daughter lives out there. He wants to be around his grandchild. I'm sure his wife wants to be around her grandchild. And I think that's why they made the move.
Follow us on Twitter at 937TheFan, driven by Shorkey Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, locations in North Huntington and North Hills. There were times where the Steelers had four undrafted guys on the line, like at the same time, right?
Yep.
Mike Munchak was a guy who you can't doubt how good of a football coach that he is. So in him leaving, how much of a blow to the Steelers is this, Ray?
Well, it's a big blow. I think he's probably one of the top three offensive line coaches in the NFL. He's that good. If you remember, when he came here, guys, I remember writing a story a week or 2 weeks after he got hired, and I talked to a lot of people in Tennessee, former players and stuff like that, and, they said he's going to bring the zone blocking scheme here, and, the Steelers are going to become this zone running team. And he got here, he realized he didn't have personnel suited to run a lot of zone schemes, so he adapted. and the Steelers ran a lot of man blocking schemes for the past 5 years. So he adapts to what he has, and we all know they have high pedigree players like Pouncey and DeCastro on that line, but there's probably more guys like Al Villanueva or B.J. Finney or Matt Filer who came into this league as undrafted players, and Munch works with them. And, you know, they get them on the right diet. They get them in the weight room. They shape their bodies. And Mike trained them to the point where not only could they become competent backups in the league, but they're now thriving as starters. I mean, 2 years in a row now that Al's in the Pro Bowl. So they're going to miss that. But I do think what Mike said yesterday about Sean Surrett is true, too. Sean's been here. He was here longer than Munch. He was here. He's been here since 2012, and he got to learn from one of the best. So he's not going to be Mike Munchak, no, but I think probably the best situation right now for the Steelers is for them to have that continuity. They got a veteran line. They all like Sean. So is it going to be a blow? Yeah, it's going to be a blow, but I think they got the best possible situation by hiring someone who's been around Munch for 5 years now.
Ray, Jerry Rice isn't an NFL GM, but we know at least one person would pay up dearly to get Antonio Brown. Will GMs feel the same way? What is the market like for Antonio Brown as we sit and wait for March to get here?
Yeah, I think it's still going to be determined, guys. I think you'll hear that heat up, maybe at the Senior Bowl next week when, coaches are, they get together and talk. Certainly at the Combine, it'll probably come to a head there. The 49ers have the number 2 overall pick. I have a hard time believing with how valuable those top 5 picks are that they would deal that for Antonio Brown. But I could certainly see a situation where they deal their early second round pick and maybe a couple more in this year's draft or next year's draft to try to get him. So they're one of the teams that are certainly in the mix here. Vegas put out odds. I mean, they're number 1 on the list, but you have the Colts, you got the Cardinals, you got the Jets. There's a whole lot of other teams who will be bidding. So, Brown very well might want to go to San Francisco, but if the Steelers get a better pick from someone else, they're going to pull the trigger on that one.
All right, you're going to be doing this, I'm sure, in the next couple months, and that's all the draft stuff, right? You'll be looking into it, Jerry, and Ed will be both looking into it as well.
Yep.
What is, right now, as you sit here today, and let's make the assumption that Antonio Brown gets traded for a defensive back. Let's make that assumption, right? Or a draft pick. How about a draft pick, okay?
Okay.
What is the area of need right now in the draft that the Steelers have that Ray Fittipaldo thinks?
Well, it's funny you mentioned that. So let's say they do get a defensive back, either in return for Antonio or, they use a high pick on a defensive back. I was looking at the inside linebackers last night, and there's two guys that jump out at me right now. Devin Bush, from Michigan, he's about 5'11", 235. Jim Harbaugh says he's the fastest linebacker he's ever been around. A little bit undersized, but he's really good. And then the other one is Devin White from LSU. He's got the size and the speed. I think he's probably going to go higher. I've seen where he's a top 10, top 15 pick. So those two guys right there, if we're not going to talk about defensive back, inside linebacker is the position. We all know Shazier had that speed. They never really replaced that speed in that defense last year. So I would say Devin White or Devin Bush. I think both of them would be good picks. But, I think Devin White is probably the guy with the higher ceiling just because he has the height, a little bit more weight to go along with that speed.
And he rides horses around campus in Baton Rouge, Ray, which is phenomenal.
I saw that. So he could ride into St. Vincent on his white horse.
Better than a chopper. Speaking of... what is the practical damage done to the Steelers' offense when and if Antonio Brown leaves, and how do they mitigate it? Does it become a more diverse offense, or does it just mean more and more juju?
Well, I mean, I really like James Washington. I thought he came on at the end of the year, but there is no way that you can go into next season without Antonio Brown. You have to bring somebody else in via free agency or a high draft pick to, at the very least, compete with James Washington, because he didn't show me enough in his rookie season to make me believe he's a surefire number 2 receiver in this league right now. So they would be in a bind. I mean, they would have to, you know, use a high pick or go out and sign somebody, spend some money in free agency to make that offense viable again. I really think, guys, and I know they're built for the passing game. I think we've seen this year that you could still have a running game in this league. You can control the clock, control the tempo of the game, control the possessions that your opponent has if you run the ball a little bit more effectively. And if they lose Antonio Brown, guys, I would not be surprised at all if they tried to run the ball a little bit more effectively. They got a good line. They got a good back. If they lost Brown, I would almost guarantee you that there would be a more emphasis on the running game in 2019.
Would Ben Roethlisberger be a fan of that?
I mean, at this point in his career, I mean, you look around, Chris. I mean, Tom Brady, I think they had the fifth most rushing attempts in the NFL this year. I mean, as you get older, I think you want to be complimented. I don't think, you know, despite the stats, and I know he led the NFL with over 5,000 passing yards this year, Ben Roethlisberger is still all about the championships. I mean, he's invested in this offense. He believes in the passing game and what Randy and that staff are doing offensively. But when you get older, I think reliance on the running game is a good thing. It opens up a ton with the play-action passing game. I think it's been really good for Tom Brady. It's been very good for other aging quarterbacks such as Drew Brees as well. I just think that's something that eventually they're going to have to go to. And, you know, listen, you know, what's the difference between 37, 39, 40? I do think if Antonio Brown does go, I do think you'll see a slight change in the offense. I'm not telling you it's going to be a 180 where they're going to be among the top rushing teams in the league next season, but I do certainly think there would be more balance than what we saw this past season.
Hey, way off the beaten path, Ray. I always like to ask you a question at the end off the beaten path. You covered Pitt basketball for a long time at the Post-Gazette. Are they back under Jeff Capel? You excited again? You compelled to go down to the Pete and watch games?
Yeah, I mean, I watched parts of that game on Monday night. It seemed like old times there. You know, back when DeJuan was playing and, you know, Sam Young in that building was rocking for every home game. So I wish Jeff the best of luck in the future as they try to get that program back on track. I know they're not there yet, but boy, you beat the number 11 team in the country at home. That's going to do a lot for your program. So yeah, that was exciting for me. I admit I haven't watched the team a whole lot, the past few years when Stallings was there, but certainly seemed like, Jeff has them back on the right track. So that was awesome.
You miss all those exciting Jamie Dixon press conferences, Ray.
Jeff is a little bit more polished, shall we say. Yeah.
All right.
Jamie
Ray.
Put it on Huggy last night, though.
Yeah, he did. Man, did you see that score?
No, what was it?
It won by like 25 or something.
216-49 or something like that.
Hey, guys, you don't have to be great at the podium. Jamie Dixon is a great coach. Wherever he goes, he's going to win.
Yes, you're right about that. Just like you, Ray. Wherever you go, you're going to win, Ray Fittipaldo. All you do is win. Thank you, Ray. We'll chat soon.
All right, guys. Talk to you later.
Thanks, Ray. Mm-hmm.
Ray got 2-hour delay. Ray got kids running around. He's got things to do. I got to go. See ya.
Hey, everyone. Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us, and your favorite team is now gearing up for week 1. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.